What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another amazing, awesome, brilliant, full of shit episode of What the Fuck.
That's because I'm back, and I'm awesome.
Well, at least you weren't there because of the full of shit part. That's me, I think.
Yes, but I like half your shit intake, so it's not as shitty. Speaking of shit, I'm totally talking out my ass right now.
We've got a bunch of different stories to talk about in the A block here. They're not all dumb
as
things.
Kind of a cornucopia.
Yeah, they're all smaller things, but none of them quite qualify as the dumbest thing, except for this first one, which is this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard!
Jillian, do you want to explain to me Bobby Hill?
Bobby Hill, for those of you who do not know, is the son on the TV show King of the Hill. With Hank Hill, he sells propane and propane accessories. So he's a cartoon character. Several stores sold alcohol to teenagers carrying fake ID cards with a photo of Bobby Hill from King of the Hill. Not only is this photo on it, they show a picture of it, and it looks nothing like an ID, like no state really. It says like citizen card, United Kingdom, cardholder name, like all that stuff is blank. Like maybe they filled it in and they just blanked it for purposes of the article. But it's, yeah, it's pretty bad. And it was 6 out of 22 stores were the ones that sold alcohol to somebody with a fake ID with Bobby Hill's picture. And also it listed the person's age as 17. So not only was it a very, very fake ID, the age on the ID wasn't even accessible. 6 out of 22 stores were tested by Nottinghamshire's County Council, and it was an undercover operation. So essentially, they were testing the stores to be like, all right, are you checking IDs? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? So they sent out kids who were actually 18, and the ID said that they were 17 with a blatant cartoon picture of Bobby Hill from King of the Hill. So it wasn't even a matter of not properly checking the identification. Most likely they didn't even look at it, or they just pretended they looked at it because it's just so asinine. It's a big picture of a cartoon character. Quote, we are warning shops that we are considering using a child with fake ID following the results of this exercise. You shouldn't even have to warn them. If they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing,
they should be busted.
Fuck them. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, you bust their ass.
And honestly, it may not be the store itself. It could just be
a lazy clerk. Yeah.
So, you know, you would kind of have to go and check a few times.
Randall
or
Graves?
Make it known. Yeah. I mean, to me, you should kind of go in depth, like maybe call a hotline or act like a mad parent and then see if it happens again. Because, you know, you can only do so much to quote unquote control your employees. Let me rephrase that. You can only do so much to supervise your employees. You can't. You know, I remember back in the day when I was working retail, it was the whole, if it's not signed, you have to ask for their ID. And I did it because I'm a very stickler for the rules, and other people didn't. And then they would get caught by a secret shop or whatever to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I never got in trouble.
Yeah, well, I get ID'd for video games, and I'm almost 40, and I look like I'm 60, so that still bugs
dude,
me.
Dude, I got ID'd at the bar I was at last week, and the people I was with didn't get ID'd, and I was all with them, and he was like, I need to see your ID. I was like, really? So I handed it to him, and he looked at the picture, he's like, nice. I was like, thank you. So that was huge ego boost.
I was going to say, I'm sure that brought your evening up.
Oh my God, it did.
All right. Now, the other things we're going to talk about, this first one, it's kind of serious, but I'm going to be kind of complaining about some of the dumber aspects of it, which are a little less serious. Two childcare workers in Delaware have put together what is being dubbed in the news the Toddler Fight Club. They worked at a daycare center, and they got various three-year-olds to fight with one another. And I'm not talking like slap fights. I'm talking they wanted blood drawn kind of fights. They videotaped it and then put it up online. And in even one of these, you can hear one of the childcare workers, or I should say ex-childcare workers at this point, screaming, no pinching! I only want punching!
Allegedly, it says, but they just can't release the tape since it's evidence. So,
and it's very minors. This leads into a bigger, kind of a dumbest thing even. And that is, I am so sick of seeing this everywhere with this phone, you know, cameras in our phones and everywhere, everybody videotaping everything, including illegal acts. then putting them up on YouTube and going, how did I get caught? You know, it's the same thing with the pot smoking 8-year-old. They're the two cousins that gave their 8-year-old cousin a joint and put it up on YouTube with them laughing about it. How'd I get caught? Or the kids that were vandalizing houses under construction. They videotaped the whole thing and put it up on YouTube. How did I get caught?
Derp.
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of the same thing. Before all of this, you know, you had teenagers that would commit very serious crimes, you know, murder, rape, whatnot. And we had a recent story about, you know, that girl that was raped and
idiots took photos.
That was evidence against them. So kids are stupid and they're going to, you know, you have murders that brag about it, children or adults, and people just don't think. They don't think stuff's going to get back to them. And rightfully so. You shouldn't be fucking doing that shit anyway. Seriously. One of the caretakers was 19 and there was 47 that were running this, you know, fight club. Oh, it looks like one was also 21. There were three of them. So that's a big range there. You know, 19 to 47. You fucking know better. This isn't like a 10-year-old kid egging on their 4-year-old brother or sister being like, yeah, fight. These are fucking adults. And not that would be right either, but, you know, kids are kids and they do stupid things. Adults do many other stupid things, but they don't have that excuse of being a child.
And this is one of those cases where I can't even imagine it seemed like a good idea at the time excuse here. This was never a good idea.
It's like, what did they think? It was like bum fighting or something? Were they going to put it online and take bets?
Did they think this was the next Michael Vick or what?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. And all the other kids were there. So it's not like you got to tell me that an entire daycare, none of those kids are going to go home and breathe with it. You know, it's not like they just had these. And again, when I'm saying all this, I'm not excusing it. I just really don't get what their mindset was on not getting caught, because you have a whole room of children at this daycare that were on looking during this.
I actually think the police love these kinds of dumb criminals, the kind that videotape their own.
Oh, yeah.
Their own crimes. Yeah. And prosecutors love it, because you can't argue with videotape, can you?
Yeah. Video and audio, like all of the men or women that try and purchase a hit on somebody, and then it's an undercover officer and they're, you know, blatantly being recorded. And then they'll still be like, that's not me. It's like, dude, you said your name. You know, we have it all on tape. And they still just think if they don't admit it, but it's like, your voice, you blatantly said everything, and people try and lose a lot of it.
Is it any worse than the guys that are on Cops on camera the entire time, one uncut shot, and the cops start pulling the weed out of their pockets and they go, these aren't my pants?
At least then they're like claiming it's not their possession. Not that, you know, I'm condoning, but it's at least somewhat of a viable excuse versus looking at a video and be like, nope, not me, doppelganger, just someone that looks like me. Nope, but me. That's like saying Kevin Bacon wasn't in Footloose arguing somebody. Like, nope, Kevin Bacon wasn't in Footloose. Didn't happen. Nope.
Explain to me the 15 things you can do to not turn off, to not turn off a man. Sorry.
Okay, let me give slight backstory here.
I'm not hitting on her. I'm not hitting on her right now.
No, this came about on Facebook, as most things do, and you kind of learn about silly things. And honestly, props to my minions of Latter-day Gamers. They send me a lot of crazy stuff that actually becomes topics and dumbest things. So keep them coming, guys. It's by realbeauty.com. And it's just unfounded. Essentially, it starts off, if you're looking to attract a man with your fluffy false eyelashes and your flowing fake mane, it is time to take a different approach. We scouted the truth and discovered the things women do that make other men turn away. All in all, men love to see women underneath the makeup, so ditch the dramatic routine and go natural for once. And it's just like, okay, let me tell you some of these things. First of all, this is literally a few quotes, like maybe 7 or 10. We'll go down. Quotes from just specific guys, essentially, you know, what turns you off? There is no statistical data here of what type of person they surveyed, where they did. And again, to each their own. Everyone has their turn-ons, turn-offs. I'm sure for each of these instances, you can have someone that doesn't have a problem with it. So this is why I have a problem that this is even an article. It just seems asinine to me, because it's essentially is saying random things. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. And there's just no validity. I don't understand who thought this would be a good article topic. And so anywho, one guy goes, it gets on my nerves when women take too much time on makeup. You would think after a lifetime, they would have the process down to less than 45 minutes. Okay. That, whatever. Women spend a lot of time getting pretty, but if we weren't pretty, you wouldn't like us, but that one's not so bad. Another one about oral hygiene, brushing, flossing, that, not so bad. The next one, however, my wife doesn't dye her hair enough. I don't like to see those dark roots. And sent by Anonymous, because I can tell you if I would be like, what, is that you?
I'm into that trailer trash, blonde at the end, not blonde at the root. I think that's kind of sexy, but that's just
I wouldn't
me.
Even call it trailer trash. I mean, honestly, you know, I could be wrong on this. Madonna kind of was the base of that, of the bleach blonde.
Into those kind of scuzzy girls. I don't know.
It's not
a turn
scuzzy.
On.
You're calling it scuzzy. I have roots on my head. I mean, seriously, it's one of those things when it starts looking real bad, fine, but it depends on your color combo. If you are, you know, naturally a blonde and you're dyeing your hair brown, yeah, it's going to look a little funky with blonde roots and brown hair. The other way, not so much. It just really depends. But the fact that this woman's man is bitching about it, and it's like, seriously, guy? But I don't know. That's just something that who would be on the street and just be like, well, girls don't dye their hair enough. Like, that's not even really a turn off. And basically, according to this article saying go natural, they're saying don't dye your hair, which makes that entire statement moot. It's random. And I'm sorry, from a journalistic standpoint, this article just doesn't make sense. And for the fact of validity of the turnoffs, a lot of these are just random pet peeves of relationships. This one here, I can't stand when she has wet hair after the shower and lays on my pillow. I usually roll over on the wet spot. Really? That's how you get a man? That's like turnoffs and what you're doing wrong?
Is it any worse than the wet spot after sex?
No, but do you see what I'm saying here? This article about like things you're doing wrong to turn off men.
It's dumb. Hit us with a couple of the highlights before we go into the final thing in this segment, which is something I do kind of want to talk about.
Okay, I'll just go through real quick and then clump them together. I wish my girlfriend would get a manicure more often instead of doing it herself. She's pretty low maintenance. Okay, I guess I'm turning guys off by not getting a manicure. 20 minutes after the shower, putting on body lotion. Like, again, these are just like pet peeves with specific guys. This doesn't mean excessive tattoos. I think inappropriately placed tattoos are a turnoff, no matter how pretty she is. Plus, they're addictive. You get one, you have another. It's like, okay, first of all, not everyone who gets tattoos becomes addicted. Some only have a couple. I do agree that there is an appropriate place to put some of them, like you
I think tattoos on the breasticles.
I don't like
is
those.
Very sexy. I think
nope, I don't like it.
I think tattoos are very attractive on a woman that has an ample bosom. I think that the tattoo really comes out, and I think that's very sexy. It kind of goes to my
trashy. You're taking something that's already sexy and then just putting something on it, and just. So anyway, let me go on this. You wouldn't get a butterfly in the middle, you know, on the front of your leg or your calf or what have you. But there's certain things. If you've got four tattoos on your back, you're not going to put them all willy-nilly. So yeah, positioning has a thing. Excessive tattoos, to each their own. It doesn't mean if you have excessive tattoos, you're going to be like, oh, you can't find men. You're doing it wrong. This is what's making me mad about the article. And, you know, with the tattoo stuff, I look at it from an artist's point of view of, you know, positioning. I personally wouldn't get tattoo sleeves. But the fact that they're serving these guys, you know, if you were general, okay, fine. But a lot of them are more so, I hate it when my girlfriend, I hate it when my wife does. And it just doesn't add up. Like, I don't understand why they thought this is a valid article.
They are not representative of the male whole.
Yeah, it's really not. And to say that it's a list of do's and don'ts and go natural, it's like, really, most of it has nothing to do with specifically women day to day. It's more so, hey, random guy says this. There are very few on these, and there's not even that many, but there's very few that are just, it's an opinionated stance anyways. I mean, there's no how to. It's not like, oh, sex tips to get them wild or this and that or just anything subjective. It's blatantly, it's basically telling you, you know, oh, well, these are what specific people hate. And so, okay, I guess I shouldn't take a shower at night and go to bed because he might roll over my pillow. That just, it doesn't, it's not article worthy. I'm sorry. I know I'm talking in circles, but grr at this article.
All right. Now, the next one is, you'll have to refresh my memory on the numbers, but apparently Facebook is going to, quote, purge fake Facebook accounts, correct?
83 million.
83 million. What qualifies as a fake Facebook account? I'm me on Facebook, but I'm also 1201 Beyond. So is 1201 Beyond a fake Facebook account? Because
Do you have a separate account for 1201 Beyond, a separate page?
Yes.
Is it under personal page or fan or business?
Fan or business.
Then you're fine. What's happening is, and I mean, I agree, it's a pain in the ass. And this came about, I saw it via some people who have cosplay websites. And there was kind of warnings going around saying, get your shit, you know, all of these are being taken down. Pet sites, I think that's dumb, but, you know, whatever. It's kind of one of those lesser evils and double-edged swords where we can't say this one's okay and this one's not. They have to go by a set of rules. It is annoying, but I do see their point of view because, first of all, the reason why there's a difference between fan page and personal pages is fan pages, you can't really send out messages, things like that. Personal pages, you can. So if a business or someone, you know, posing as someone, what have you, has a personal account, you can message people unless they have it blocked that you can't receive messages from non-friends. They could send out mass spam messages saying, hey, check this out, you know, deals, things like that, by their rules of you have to be you. You cannot create one for somebody else. You have to show government issued ID in order to reactivate your account if it's taken down mistake. They say your personal pages have to be you as a person. If you want a pet page, go ahead and create it, but create it under like a fan page. You know, you don't need to send messages as your pet. And there you go. Like, again, I'm not trying to be like the bitch agreeing with corporation, but I do see why they do it. And I mean, would you want to be getting 500 messages because you don't have friends only? Because I don't, because of the fans from the snob site. I take messages from anybody. So if businesses, even, and I'm not saying like Chili's or Target would do it, but all of these little businesses that you see on the right of Facebook, Wish.com, all of that, not again that they would, but these independent businesses that have their own stores, they could create a personal page and then just send out, you know, mass messages to everyone with the first name Josh, or everyone that, you know, very easy to make mass messages. And that's why they do it. That's why there is a 5,000 rent cap on the personal pages. So if one does slip through the cracks, that, you know, they can't get a huge accumulation and then send it to everybody on their friends' page as well. Does that make sense?
It does, but I think it's bullshit. So on that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm probably going to be dominating the conversation because I'm going to be yelling a lot.
Yeah, you are. I'm turning my volume down.
Hey, you guys. Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here. And normally you'd hear me ranting and raving about some political thing that's got a bug up my ass or another. But today, I want to talk to you guys about the Safe Cig. When I was growing up as a kid, my father smoked 3 packs a day. My mother smoked 2 packs a day. And when we went on a family camping trip, he rolled up the windows for the air conditioner. So we rolled down the highway in a goldfish bowl full of smoke. It was nuts. Well, tell you what, folks. I wish my father had this when I was a kid. Safe Cig is a new technology that offers a real alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. That's right, it's an alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. No tar, no ash, and has virtually no smell. So go on down to www.thesafecig.com. No secondhand environmental health or fire risk. So if you've got a hubby or a wife who likes to smoke in bed at night while she's reading her favorite James Patterson novel, well, hey, you don't have to worry now if she's smoking the Safe Cig, because it's not on fire. So, folks, I've got a really good deal for you. If you want to try out the Safe Cig, you can. You're going to get 20% off if you use the code HORROR. That's right. Use the code HORROR, and you're going to get 20% off your order of the Safe Cig. And that's thesafecig.com. So go ahead and check it out today. Get your 20% off. Don't forget to use your code HORROR.
So, Hart, you've had a pretty big week this week, correct?
Dude, I just got back from the first meeting for our shooting the very first show for the American Horrors broadcast TV show, which starts tomorrow. I start shooting tomorrow. Then from then on, I'm shooting 2 shows a week, hour each. They're going to be on broadcast television in the Los Angeles area. You'll be able to watch them on all your cable channels, on all your broadcast TV, so you won't need cable. And then down the road, we're going to be on Dish Network and DirecTV. And it's kind of a new animal. It's broadcast. That means there's censorship issues. There's some really weird stuff. I think next episode I'm going to read the list of what you can't say, because some of it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't think you should censor any words on TV to begin with, because it's absolutely ridiculous. Now you're regulating speech.
David Milch had this really funny incident on NYPD Blue where he made up a word, and they said, I don't care if that's not a real word coming out of Sipowicz's mouth. It sounds filthy, and we're not going to let you say Gunya.
Oh, God. There's some other racial epitaphs they've got on there that are kind of silly, you know, that you can't say. It's really pretty ridiculous. And what I was told is the violence isn't as big a problem as the sexual content. Like, I can't say suck it.
Can you say, like, suck? Like, I thought this film sucks. Are you able
yeah,
to say sucks?
Say
then why can't you say suck it?
It has a sexual connotation, and a lot of it has to do with, did somebody make a complaint? And that's where it gets kind of ridiculous. It's going to be really interesting doing the show. I mean, I've done broadcast TV before. The guys at the studio were loving what we were doing. You know, what we're going to be showing on the very first show is John Speck's Fear in the Flatlands, which is a really interesting documentary about an insane asylum in Illinois, Ashmore Estates. And it's his investigation into Ashmore Estates. And the weird thing is, at first, it was just a haunted house investigation, and then partway through, the guy started stumbling across an unsolved sex crime. And that's when shit started to get really wacky, including a break into one of the producer's homes, where his home was ransacked and nothing was stolen. They were looking for something. What happened is it's involved with a satanic cult. And as soon as they started coming across this unsolved cult crime, a torso murder, we're talking about a town of like 800 people with seven unsolved murders.
That's not a good ratio, no.
No, that's a really bad ratio. So once they started getting involved in that, things started getting weird. The police were following them. Somebody sent one of the producers a Flash Gordon VHS tape where the VHS Flash Gordon guts had been taken out, and they just put in their own tape, and it's a satanic ritual with a dude getting branded. And I think somebody was looking for that tape. He was the one who they sent it to. And I think somebody changed their mind, or somebody said, hey, we want that. And so they broke into his house and ransacked his house, but he wasn't keeping the tape there. And they didn't steal anything, dude. And they certainly made sure he knew that they were there. And also some music videos, a little bit about myself. It should be pretty interesting. And then October is going to be pretty crazy as we run around Los Angeles covering everything we can that's horror-related. Film On is doing lots of stuff, lots of stuff. They're involved in lawsuits with Fox. It's interesting because what he's doing is he's challenging the hypocrisy of the corporate establishment. You know, it's interesting that the government in the Ukraine a couple weeks ago raided Demonoid for illegal copyright infringement.
Same with CNET. CNET... They show you where all the torrent sites are. And then at the same time, that one hand is showing you, hey, here's where you can pirate movies and music. And the other hand is going, here's why it's wrong to pirate movies and music.
Yeah, it's a big game. And what I really love about Alki is that he's challenging the hypocrisy. And what's wonderful about him is he has the money to go to it. And that's nice. It's really nice to see. And the people
that's the best thing about a crazy
billionaire.
That's the best thing about a crazy billionaire is when they're good kind of crazy.
Yeah, he's a pretty sharp guy. You know, he's a very intelligent person. He's not your usual rich asshole. It's just too bad. He's surrounded by quite a bit of parasites, though. I mean, there's some Hollywood douchebags that are working with a fucking convicted child molester. I'll tell you, folks, that's where I draw the fucking line. I have zero desire to work with a child molester. If I find out you were diddling children, if I find out that you drugged a child on your movie and you raped a child on your movie, I don't give a fuck what the fuck you do after that. I don't want to work with you. Fucking do with you, man.
Roman Polanski?
You have gone too far.
Are we talking Roman Polanski here?
Oh, no. Roman Polanski never drugged and raped a child on his movie set.
No, he did it in fucking France.
That's right. I'm talking about repeated.
Victor Silva.
There you go. Victor Da Silva. I can't believe that Disney made Powder. And can you believe that horseshit? Here's a convicted child molester, and he gets done with his crime, and he got a fucking slap on the wrist because Robert Redford testified for him as a character witness. Dude, I don't care how great an artist you are. I don't give a fuck. If you are raping and drugging little boys on your set, I'd like to bury you in a shallow grave where the dogs can eat your entrails.
It's the same thing with the Roman Polanski thing. You've got Johnny Depp and Kevin Smith and all these people going, well, you know, it was 70, you know, it was in the 70s. What's the big deal? Johnny Depp even said he's a brilliant artist. Artists always have eccentricities. It's like, yeah,
that's horseshit.
Sodomizing a 13-year-old girl.
That's a little different about his particular case. Is this girl was served up to him on a silver platter by her mother, for one. For number two, the rape victim has said, look, I'm okay with this now. He paid his debt to society. He did his crime. He went to an insane asylum for a while. And if you read the case, the dude, I feel the Polanski case is a little different because he did go to jail and he did serve some nasty shit.
No,
you know
he didn't.
He ran away. Stuff.
He ran away before sentencing.
No, that's not the full thing. You need to watch the documentary about Roman Polanski to know the full fucking story and what the United States government did and how this judge, who felt embarrassed by the news coverage of the event, went back on the deals that he had made, like legitimate, real sentencing. They'd already done those things. They'd already made those deals. You really need to see the Roman Polanski documentary and understand that it's a total clusterfuck. And the real victim's that poor girl, the girl who it happened to. Now, this boy who Victor DeSalva raped repeatedly, not just one time, repeatedly, the star of his movie, Clown House, that's a little different. That's a serial predator. Mm-hmm. There isn't like a list of people, and Roman Polanski didn't go make more movies with, you know, 14-year-old children having sex and being drugged. Look at what Victor DeSalva made after he got out. He didn't even go to jail, actually. When that dude could make movies again, what did he make? Powder. What's that about? Oh, I don't know. Young men that are underage, right on the cusp.
Same thing with locker rooms and shit. Same thing with Jeepers Creepers.
What's Jeepers Creepers all about? Oh, prepubescent and pubescent boys and consumption of pubescent boys. And what's the Jeepers Creepers do? You know, it's creepy.
Yeah.
It's way creepier than Roman Polanski. I agree with you that what Roman Polanski did is fucking hideous. There's no excuse for it.
What's actually a little more offensive to me is the Hollywood, like Johnny Depp, with what he said that, basically, he was saying it's okay. The guy's a genius,
okay.
So.
I do not believe that's okay.
Johnny was saying, though. It's okay. He's a genius. He's allowed certain little weird tics, and you know, maybe raping minors is his tic. And I'm like, Johnny, he's your friend. I lost all respect for Kevin Smith when he stood up for that.
How many years after Sharon Tate's murder did this happen?
I think it was 4 or 5. It wasn't all that long in the long run.
I think the dude was severely mentally unhinged. Now, I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying we have to look at the situation, and I believe they're different. I think there's much more of a serial sexual predator going on with the Silva case versus this other case.
I had never heard of Victor DeSalva before I saw Powder, when it was still in theaters, and I saw Powder, and I thought, this is a pretty good movie. And then I started to see all the news coverage and the inside editions and shit on that, and then that literally does sour the movie to me. I can't look at that movie the same way. Like, when I saw Jeepers Creepers, I didn't know he directed it. When I saw Jeepers Creepers, it was just one of those, hey, you want to go see a movie things.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have gone to see that if I knew he directed it. And that's why I've never seen Jeepers Creepers 2.
You know, I do believe that no matter the criminal, no matter the beast of human, the art is the art. You know, I may hate a person, but I might like a song he writes. You know, Charles Manson's a piece of shit, but the dude wrote some good tunes. You know, the sad thing is we want to pretend that once you do one bad thing, you're all bad. My feeling about a child sexual predator is they're very dangerous, and they don't really change. They have a very hard time controlling their compulsive behavior to victimize people. It's a different kind of crime. I mean, I feel that human beings are complex. They're very complex. I'll just go out and say it. A guy I worked with at a bar, I'm going to say Mabel's, the bar was a bouncerette. One of the people I worked with raped my girlfriend, and he was a friend of mine. And when he got on cocaine and he got drugged up, he did fucked up shit. And I had warned her, don't you ever be alone with this guy when he's on drugs. And one night when we couldn't hook up and hang out, she went and partied with him and thought that she'd be safe because this fucking guy's girlfriend was with him. And she thought she'd be okay. Nope, not at all. This poor girl passed out, you know, from their drinking and partying. Everybody had gone to sleep, and this dude was still up, and she woke up with this guy trying to rape her. He had stripped her of her clothes, and she woke up with this guy trying to rape her, and she fought him off and then showed up at my house, and then I went looking for some motherfuckers, and then we went to the police. I understand sexual predation, and the thing that people have to understand is just because they did something horrible doesn't mean they couldn't be a likable person. I mean, people are much more complex than that. There's much more going on. You could have the Iceman, who was the most notorious hitman for the New York mob, but if you talk to his kids and his wife, he was the best husband, and he was the most wonderful father.
Yeah, it's the same thing with like the BTK killer. Absolutely no one whatsoever expected who he was.
John Wayne Gacy. And there's all kinds of fucking goofy shit with violence. I mean, let me just say it to you this way. She fell asleep in the bed. She took her sleeping medication and went to sleep. While she was asleep, her husband went and took her phone out of her purse, checked her text messages, and found out she'd been texting her lover on the side. So he went and he got himself a deadly weapon, a golf club, and he came up and he assaulted her in the bed with a deadly weapon, continuing to beat her with the golf club. She ran for her life out the door. She ran out the front door in fear for her life while he pursued her with the deadly weapon. She jumped in her car to get away, and he continued to batter the car, to assault and batter the car with the deadly weapon. And then she crashed her car into a tree, and the neighbors had to call 911 for help because he continued to assault and batter her with a deadly weapon. What would happen to that guy?
You'd probably get a TV movie made out of him, actually.
He'd be in prison. He'd be in prison right away. Let's flip this and look at it for what it is. That's a Tiger Woods story.
That's actually the very first thing I thought of when you started that was, if this were the sex is reversed, it's Tiger Woods.
That's exactly what it is. And that's what it's meant to do. Open our eyes, motherfuckers. You know, violence comes in all shapes and forms and sizes. It's all over the fucking place. And that's a big part of what I'm going to be covering on the American Horrors TV show on broadcast. The new show, we're going to be covering a lot of different stuff. You know, I just got off the phone before you called. The reason I made you call me back is you got so incredulous with me because I was busy with Gene LaBelle.
I didn't get incredulous.
You got incredulous. Ooh, really? 11 o'clock? Yeah, I'm busy, you fuckhole. You told me 11, I called somebody.
I was a couple of minutes early.
You know, I'm going to bring Gene LaBelle on the show. I'm going to be bringing all kinds of cool people. We're going to have live acts on the show, live bands. It's going to be the best fucking horror show there is on TV, period.
Where can people see this in the Los Angeles area right now? What channel number?
Well,
is
if you
it
guys
be?
Want to see, well, what it is Alky bought a channel here. He made a deal with a channel. It was Channel 64, and it was like an infomercial for Mandarin Chinese or Vietnamese or something like that. And so he bought this channel, and on September 1st, the countdown clock begins till they go live. And on Monday, September 3rd, Film On TV goes live. And from then on, you know, from midnight to 1, that's my time slot.
So, Hart, does this mean that we're not going to see this show on the American Horrors channel using the Film On app?
No, you're not, actually. This show will not be on the American Horrors 24-hour channel. And that's still fucking going gangbusters, man. If you want to subscribe, www.filmon.com. And hey, guys, I've got something really wonderful for October. I've got a really wonderful gift. It's our one-year anniversary of being on the air. I'm talking to Alky about this. I haven't nailed it, but I want to make the channel free to everybody. So you guys better get ready. You guys better all be downloading the Film On app. Get your fucking asses together, because I'm going to make it available. American Horrors is going to be available for fucking free all October.
Gator bait. Untamed and deadly, she ruled the swamps of Louisiana with a blazing gun and a luscious smile. Gator bait, rated R.
I get to yell now.
You get him, Joshy.
Last week, Dave Mustaine, the idiot lead singer and lead guitar player from Megadeth, went on stage and actually said that he thinks the Sikh shooting in Milwaukee, which we've talked about, the Aurora, Colorado shooting, and a few other shootings in America were all perpetrated by the Obama administration to work up public fervor against guns so he can try and do mass gun control in this country.
Back in my country, my president is trying to pass a gun ban, so he's staging all of these murders, like the Fast and Furious thing down at the border in Aurora, Colorado, all the people that were killed there, and now the beautiful people at the Sikh temple. God, I was talking to JD, our promoter here tonight. What a great guy. I was saying, you know, I don't know where I'm going to live if America keeps going the way it's going, because it looks like it's turning into Nazi America. And he said, move down here to Singapore.
So asinine.
What I have to say about this is, are you fucking kidding me? This is just asinine on such a ridiculous goddamn level. Okay, first, he said this at a concert. So not even an appropriate venue to be saying this. I mean, if he said it at the Republican National Convention, all right, I kind of see why he would do it. This was at a concert. And he said it so nonchalant, you know, just kind of like, hey, I'm just reiterating what you all already know. And then he starts getting shit over this, Jillian. And so what is the one talk show he goes on? Alex Jones.
Oh.
He goes on Alex fucking Jones, the one guy who's been preaching for an entire year that Obama's been trying to take away your guns. So the place you go to justify yourself is the place that's already agreeing with you. And then this also ties into Ted Nugent. It was earlier this year, Ted Nugent, he was speaking at an NRA function, I believe. He hates Obama so much. He said, if Obama gets reelected, and I quote, I will either be dead or in jail.
Because I tell you this right now, if Barack Obama becomes the president in November again, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year.
What he was saying was, I will either kill Obama or I will die trying to kill Obama. This is Ted Nugent.
Wouldn't he have it like the Secret Service at his fucking door? Because I know back in the day,
the Secret Service did come at his door. Ted Nugent got a really late night call from the Secret Service right after those comments came out on YouTube.
Real quick, because I'm curious, like what became of that after he got the little visit from the Men in Black?
He basically, I haven't heard anything from Ted. Ted's been kind of quiet after that.
Like, I'm sorry.
Maybe he's locked up.
No, he's still doing concerts and speeches and stuff. He's still around. And Dave Mustaine, like I said, he kind of gave this half-assed apology that it didn't come out the way he wanted it to. And part of his apology was, I'm not accusing Obama of doing this. I'm accusing people in the Obama administration of doing this. And then he tried.
Everybody's got conspiracies.
And then he tried to rap because Obama, the Obama administration just got caught with Fast and the Furious. He's trying to say, well, see, that proves my point. They were selling guns to both sides on the Mexican border. So see, that proves my point. So after Fast and the Furious and the Sikh shooting and the Aurora shooting, even this goes all the way back to even before Obama was elected. During the campaign, you had idiots like Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and the usual clown car full of pundits that we've talked about a million times on this show, Jay. And all of them, especially Michelle Bachmann, she was constantly on this one, that Obama wants to take away your guns. And they're still on this. And you got Dave Mustaine talking about how this is a secret to take away your guns. Nothing.
Who needs a fucking
Obama
automatic rifle? Like, how dangerous are deer and whatnot, that you need a fucking automatic rifle? Seriously.
That's not even part of the equation at this point.
Well,
nothing.
I was
Obama, in his entire administration and during the election, he has never once, no one from his administration has introduced any kind of legislation to restrict the Second Amendment. Yet that's what the Republicans, they keep perpetuating this lie because it's a lie that their sheeple want to believe. The Republican Tea Party out there wants to believe so bad that Obama wants to take away their guns. But there's no evidence to support the lie.
You don't fucking need automatic weapons. I'm sorry, you don't. Those of you out there who disagree with me, sorry, unless you're going to kill a shit ton of people, you don't need a fucking automatic weapon to go hunting.
It reminds me of that Futurama episode with the future NRA.
So what are you doing to protect my constitutional right to bear doomsday devices?
Well, first off, we're going to get rid of that 3-day waiting period for mad scientists.
Damn straight. Today, the mad scientist can't get a doomsday device. Tomorrow, it's the mad grad student. Where will it end?
Amen, brother. I don't go anywhere without my mutated anthrax. For duck hunting.
Like we talked about in the previous segment, you know, the whole Fast and the Furious thing. I don't think everybody's got their theories. I don't think you can hold Obama personally responsible because he didn't specifically have anything to do with it. And I know everybody's like, oh, cover up. You know, he did it and then the guy took the fall. But like we said, you can't hold a supervisor necessarily responsible. Like everybody pays for their own actions and does
right,
their own thing.
But,
so I don't think it's fair.
But see, this is the point. There are people that are not paying. All these pundits that keep whipping up this fervor. You've got the Dave Mustaines and the Bill O'Reillys and the Ted Nugents and the Sean Hannitys that keep whipping up this fervor. And then something like Aurora happens and they go, see, we told you that was going to happen. They're basically stacking the deck in their own favor. They're whipping up this fervor to get everyone to go crazy, so everyone starts killing everyone else with guns, then the administration has to crack down, and then they go, see, we were right all along. They're stacking the deck, and that's also endemic of an even bigger issue, Jay. And the bigger issue is, you've got Ted Nugent, one of the other things he said was that he wants to take back our country. What does that mean? I've heard this from all of these Republican Tea Party pundits. What does that mean? Take back our country. Name me right now 3 freedoms you do not have anymore that you had before Obama was in office. You know what? You can't. This is the same America that it was under George Bush. The same America that it was under Bush 1. The same America that it was under Reagan. I'm sick of this. We're going to take back America. We're going to take back our country. You didn't lose your country.
Yeah, I think it all falls under this whole church and state. Got all of these hardcore religion Republicans saying, take back our country, i.e. put religion and God back in everything. We've talked for months about the whole women's rights, everything. Forcing religion differential between, oh, well, if you're a Christian, you can beat up this gay kid because it's against your religion versus anything else. The reading of a Bible and expressing religious beliefs in public, again, only Christianity. So you have this whole, yeah, okay, let's take back our country, but separation of church and state, people. I mean,
It's not even just that. You'll notice all of the people who keep talking about taking back their country are white, male Christians. Because you know what? They want to go back to this idealized 1950s America where everything was perfect, you know, unless you were a woman or black or gay or a Jew or a Latino or you didn't own land.
What state did they pass that where you don't have to pay women as much as men?
Wisconsin. That's my state.
That's what I thought. I didn't want to like say Wisconsin. But yeah, it's asinine things. God, I just don't get it. I seriously am scared for the future. And I know I've said this a bazillion times before, but I don't get it. And
okay, right now, and I'm half smartassy with what I'm about to say, and I'm half serious. Right now, we are in the opening text crawl of a dystopian future movie. We are in that era right now, Jay, of what happens in the opening text crawl before Johnny Mnemonic starts. Then this leads into the other topic, which again, and Jillian and I are not trying to pick on Republicans, but my God, you guys keep saying stupid things. Would you vote for any psychopath that has the balls to say legitimate rape never results in pregnancy? Would you vote for this guy?
That's insane. I don't care if they were a Republican, Democrat, or flying spaghetti monster. I don't know.
What this guy was basically saying is, and this does go back to the religion thing, it's all these anti-abortion lunatics, that the rights of the unborn shit. The guy was basically saying, and I'm not exaggerating when I said I'm almost quoting, legitimate rape does not result in a child. What he was basically saying was, if it was really rape, the woman's body would have a miscarriage. So if the child is carried to term, then it wasn't rape. And then a fellow Republican even doubled down on his statement saying, well, that might have been wrong, but a lot of really good people have been come into the world as a result of rape. And that just made me go, are you fucking kidding me?
Okay, here's the thing on that. If you're going to use that logic, what about all the miscarriages from consensual sex? Are you saying that that wasn't consensual or they didn't deserve to have a child? What about people who spend hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to conceive? Like, there is just no logic in these statements. I don't remember exactly when it is.
The one thing I'm going to interrupt you there. I'll let you finish. But I've stopped looking for logic when Republicans speak. I don't even look for logic anymore, Jay. Because it's never there.
But it still has to be addressed or we wouldn't be.
I know. I'm just saying that the fact that you said there's no logical reason, and I'm like, it's Republicans. You don't need to say that.
That is illogical.
All right, finish.
So, I mean, I can't remember when it was or if it was Christian groups or whoever it was. And I wish I would have thought of it to look it up. But the whole feeling of if you had a mentally handicapped child or just a child with special needs or something, that you had done something wrong. You know, it was kind of like a penance or, you know, this is why your child must suffer now. And
it's because
it
you forgot to go to church that one Sunday 40 years
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. Well, not necessarily that trite, but, you know, that's the same reasoning here is, oh, well, you're being punished and you have, you know, this burden, your child ended up like this. And I mean, almost every parent that has a special needs child, whatever it may be, you know, mental, physical, what have you, they don't love that child any less. It's not a punishment. Yeah, it's hard. I can't even fathom because I don't have a child. You know, if you look at some of these parents, and I have seen more love from these type of parents with, you know, special needs children than parents with, you know, quote unquote, normal children, as others would put it. So saying that anything is, you know, a punishment or this is happening, you know, I mean, first of all, it's not that it's back in the oldie days, you know, they would say that. But saying something like if you're actually raped, your body will reject the child. Anatomy doesn't work that way. Secondly, if you're a religious nut, you wouldn't believe that anyways, because, you know, unless you believe in a really twisted God, I mean, doesn't work that way. It's
well,
not.
If you look at it like this,
something bad happened to you, so whoopsies, we'll have, you know, this miscarriage.
Okay, Jillian, I think another aspect would be, and I'm not trying to put words into this idiot's mouth, but I think another aspect would be, since especially for the Catholics, that sex should only be to make a child. If a guy rapes a girl and gets her pregnant, then isn't that God's will that he wanted her to have a child at that point? So by that logic, then wouldn't they be condoning rape on women as part of God's will? I mean, if you really want to go all the way back to this book, you believe Mary didn't consent to get pregnant, so that's fucking rape. Jesus Christ, these people piss me the fuck off, Jillian. God damn it. And then there are some people that are complaining about, like, the Ted Nugent, Dave Mustaine thing, saying, as public figures with people that follow them and what they say, that they have a social responsibility to choose their words more carefully. I call bullshit on that. I don't believe in social responsibility. You and I have quite a few people that follow our show. I don't believe we have a social responsibility to not say something stupid every now and then.
I mean, I don't think it falls under social responsibility. I know we've spoken of this before, unless you're blatantly saying, you know, all people of this race should be wiped out. Everybody go get a gun and do this. Then that's the point where it's like, okay, well, you're becoming a danger. Don't try and influence these people. People with influence do need to take responsibility for things of that matter they say. Anyone who is just speaking publicly in the public eye, whether you have it be a singer, an actor, I mean, look at all of the shenanigans with actors acting completely stupid.
Well, you've even got the thing from...
Wait, hold on. If you use us for an example, yeah, you do have to take responsibility for what you say, but again, it falls back on you. Just like these people saying these asinine things have to now handle the repercussions for their statements the same goes throughout. It's not like saying, oh, well, people look up to you, you should watch what you say. It's more so you said something really fucking wrong. Now you're going to have to deal with the aftermath. That's how I look
right.
at
it. Right. But they let these right wingers off. Look at what happened with George Tiller and Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly was on his show for years talking about how George Tiller, the abortion doctor, needs to be, quote, taken out. Someone needs to stop him. Someone needs to save the babies. So
yeah,
a big Bill O'Reilly fan goes and kills George Tiller, and O'Reilly, I never wanted that to happen. You've got Gabby Giffords shooting. You've got Sarah Palin putting a crosshair over Gabby Giffords' photo and saying someone needs to take them out. So a nutbag that was a Sarah Palin fan goes and fucking shoots Gabby Giffords in the fucking head, and she goes, well, I wasn't indicating violence. Yes, you were! When you have that kind of an audience and that kind of an influence, you are indicating violence when you say you're going to take somebody out. When Ted Nugent is up on stage and he says, I'm either going to kill Obama or die killing Obama, you've got at that point, you've got a social responsibility, not to the other people, but to take responsibility for what other people do. They don't have a social responsibility in that they have to watch their words. They just have to know you're going to get the fallout when this happens.
You know, let's say you've got a YouTube page and you've got 1,000 followers on Facebook or Twitter or what have you, and you post something on Facebook to that matter. I mean, there's a lot of crazy people out there. And so anyone can be in a position of influence, even if you're not in the media eye. So especially with these days of internet and internet shows, you could just say something off color and you may be joking. Obviously, putting a gun to somebody's picture or saying, you know, they need to be taken out is very blatant. And when you talk around, I mean, we talked about that. I was like, well, what did he mean? Like, take him out to dinner? Because it was pretty obvious, but they got out of it. People tend to do.
Well, Jillian, it even comes back to you being a smart ass and trolling me a couple of weeks ago with my comment about Obama having his brain replaced by the mole people from the center of the earth.
I love you.
And you're like, yeah, somebody's just going to put that out of context on YouTube. And someone did. So I know you were joking, but yes, and I know who did it, Alex.
If it makes you feel any better, at least it was a friend of ours and not just some random crazy person. He's a crazy person we know.
I know. So I'm just saying, to wrap up.
I love that animation. For those of you who haven't seen it, I don't know. I'll try and post it on my page if Josh doesn't hurt me. And
I won't.
It's just a picture of his Skype picture, and it's very kind of South Park with like Canadians where like his mouth and jaw just drop up and down and sync to him saying, you know, about the Obama
about Obama's brain being replaced by the mole people from the center of the earth.
I don't know. That is one of like the best things I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of stuff, and it just, I keep it on my computer because he sent it to me. And every time I'm having like a really shitty day, I just look at it a couple times and it makes me giggle. So I love you, Alex. It does. It really does.
So on that note, where can we find Jay-Z?
See, it makes you laugh too. Alex is spreading joy and sunshine to the world. I am on Facebook as well as thecinemasnob.com. And you can find me on Twitter at TheMistressJ. And that's the letter J, not J-A-Y.
All right. You can find me at 1201beyond.com. 1201beyond@gmail.com, and go and click on the Amazon links if you're going to be shopping on Amazon on 1201beyond.com. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and we get a little nice cut out of it. So if you're going to be shopping there anyway, go and use the Amazon links on my website.
I need money. I need a new Atari 2600, you guys.